Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Amen. God's word for our consideration is taken from Leviticus 16, verses 1 through 10, on page 115 in the Pew Bibles. Leviticus 16, 1 through 10. Before I read those, you can hold your spot, and I'm just going to read the background of the text from Leviticus 10. Entitled in the NIV, The Death of Nadab and Abihu. Give the background. Aaron's sons, Aaron being the high priest, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censer, their incense burner, put fire in them and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all people, I will be honored.'" And Aaron, their father, remained silent. Now Leviticus 16, 1 through 10. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. This is the word of God, the word of our God, and this evening we will scratch the surface of the great day of atonement. Last Friday, I was here in this space getting ready for the child care Christmas program practice. About 11:30. The lights were on, the sanctuary was quiet, even with the roofers on the roof at the time, it was quiet at that moment. And I'm up here working, getting ready, and all of a sudden, the door back there opens up, and in that door walks Helen Johan, who is the Monday-Friday lunch lady for the child care kids. And she's pushing her lunch cart. And she pushes her lunch cart across the back of the church, bypassing the child gates that are out there in the entryway most of the week. But very quickly, this beautiful aroma of sloppy joes is coming through the space of God and the sanctuary. And Helen doesn't know I'm here, and I simply call out, and I don't even startle her. She turns and she smiles, and we have a conversation, and then Helen goes on her way. And I thought, how did it happen? As I was thinking about it today. Is that me?
That's me.
I didn't do anything, I promise. Plan B.
Talk loud enough that you can all hear me?
Yeah.
sanctuary in the house of God, especially with Sloppy Joe's. And how did she know that she did not need a priest and could be that comfortable? And then I thought, you know, and if she did need a priest, I'm not her guy because I'm just a pastor guy. I'm a shepherd of souls, not a priest. Do you know that historically there were and are churches that leave their doors unlocked? Amen. So that God's people can come into the house of God whenever they choose to sit and to meditate and to pray to spend time with their God. Now, most of the time, St. Paul says locked. But you probably know that when we are unlocked, you are free to come into the sanctuary and spend some time in prayer and meditation with your God. Now, for some of us, we would be comfortable sitting way in the back.
That would be our comfort zone. That's where we are, right? Way in the back.
But someone, even here by themselves, might think, I'm going to migrate to the middle because I can do that. And then someone might say, well, you know, I really like the front row, and I'm going to sit up here. And one or two of us might think, you know, I am free to come up into the chancel space, and maybe you'd even approach the altar. How did it happen that we don't need a priest to come into the sanctuary of God? You do know what Jesus said. Thank you. You do know what Jesus said, don't you? In Psalm, or what David wrote, rather, in Psalm 24. He wrote this, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? And he's talking about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Do you have a pure heart and perfect hands as you love and serve your God and people? Or are you thinking maybe you need a priest? You see, a priest is a mediator who goes between sinners and their God. And a priest is a sacrificer who sacrifices for the sins of the people in the presence of their God. That's what the word priest means. And as you know yourself, do you think maybe you need a priest? Prior to Christmas, Israel needed a priest and special instructions to go along with that priest. Listen again to a synopsis of our text. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the Ark of the Covenant, or else he will die, for I appear in the cloud above the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. A young bull for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering, the sacred linen tunic, linen undergarments, the linen sash around his waist, the turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. Two male goats for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, casting lots for the goats, one for the Lord, one for the scapegoat. Think literally as escapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Can you imagine life without Christmas? No gifts, no tree, no holiday time off of work, no access to your God without an earthly priest, fear of God
shut out from God's presence, separated from God by a large curtain that would go floor to ceiling, wall to wall, and you couldn't see into his sanctuary. The writer to the Hebrews explained that for us in our reading, and in Hebrews 9, 22, the writer says this: the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. See, without Christmas, we are shut out from the presence of God unless we have blood in our hands. Life without Christmas. For the Old Testament believers, the priests entered twice a day into the outer room, the holy place, taking with them blood to atone for the sins of the people. But that was not enough. So once a year on the great day of atonement, the high priest would take blood into the most holy place and present it before the Lord to cleanse the tabernacle itself of the sins of the people that were atoned for throughout the year. And the great day of atonement was kind of a deep cleansing of God's people and of the very worship space where God communed with his people. The great day of atonement was also a day of humility for the priest. Normally the high priest would wear the trappings more like a king, the finery that would make people glory in the God of Israel. But on the great day of atonement, he took off the finery, and he wore the robes of a slave. And he went into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, with blood in his hands to atone for his sin and the sin of the people. And if you read further into Leviticus 16, you will read about how then he came out of the tabernacle and he placed his hands on the scapegoat and symbolically transferred the sins of the people to the scapegoat that was then sent out into the wilderness as God took the sins of the people and took them outside of his visible presence among his people. David spoke about this in Psalm 103 and pictures it when he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Yes, God's Old Testament people needed a priest to represent them before God and to lead them to God, and quite often with some fear and trembling. Because you see, there was a problem. The sin wasn't the goats, or the bulls, or the rams. The sin was the people's. And so the writer to the Hebrews in our second reading reminded us of this. He said, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The blood of animals that was shed in the days of Moses forgave sin because they were tied, because of the promises tied to them that were tied to what was coming. The baby born in Bethlehem, who would reverse sin and its consequences and bring us back into the presence of God. For you see, the sin of people requires the blood of people. And that is the purpose of Christmas. The Jewish world was looking for its Messiah, the Messiah of God, the anointed prophet, priest, and king. The only problem was, is too many of the people were changing the job description of the Messiah of God. And when Jesus course corrected by telling them, I am here to die for sin and to rule in hearts through the forgiveness of sin and through faith, they rejected him and sent him to his death. And God turned that into the payment for our sins, that he would be the key to the kingdom of heaven, to open the door for you and me. Think of what he said in our gospel lesson. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd laying down my life for the sheep. Our great high priest came that first Christmas donning the garb of a slave to sin, hiding his glory almost completely except for the miracles that would flash on occasion and let people know who he was. Humble and humbled, the sins of the world were laid across his shoulders. His blood was shed. And he took that blood in his hands and entered the most holy place in the halls of heaven in the tabernacle of God, and put his blood on the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant before a just and holy God for you and for me. And remember how on the cross he said, my God, why forsake me? Why are you forsaking me? Isaiah tells us that God the Father had planned to put our sins upon his Son and send him away from his presence as the Father turned his face away and abandoned his Son to the punishment of hell for you and for me. And he did that so that our sin would never again return to you and me. Can you and I be sure of that? Are we certain of that? Well, what does our God tell us? What have we heard? Recall the words of God. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. Think of the angel's words to Joseph, betrothed to Mary. You are to name him Jesus, Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. And they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And from the Apostle Paul, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And so Helen Johan comes in through that door with her lunch cart, pushing sloppy joes down the back end of God's house, totally confident and at peace. And I'll bet at times she stops and looks toward the altar and says a prayer. Tomorrow night in late afternoon, the childcare children are going to come and sit right here in the presence of God and sing for their parents and grandparents about the baby Jesus, the Savior born in Bethlehem. And you and I, every week, approach the altar of God, confessing our sins, counting on God's forgiveness. And then we commune at his table, counting on forgiveness and strength as we commune with our God. As I was finishing the writing of this sermon on Monday morning in the front room of the parsonage, the burial vault company showed up, pulled in my driveway. And they put into the ground the burial vault that would later that morning receive the body of Marilyn Miller. And I smiled to myself and I thought, Marilyn was not afraid to see the face of her God, to be ushered into his space, his place in heaven itself. She was not afraid, because she knew, along with the Apostle Paul, what God had said to her. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you just love our glorious priest, our high priest, mediator and sacrificer once for all? I would invite you to join us again in this space, in this place, in God's house this Christmas, where children and angels and shepherds will reveal to us again the baby born to be a priest, born to be the sacrifice. And those same children and angels and shepherds will invite us to come close and to look and to see and to be amazed at our prophet, our priest, and our king. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let us respond to this.